I'm Jonathan Aberman. Coming up on today's show,
we help entrepreneurs grow by providing them mentorship, sometimes space, access to capital, providing peer-to-peer networks, opportunities to work through some of their challenging issues at the time.
Welcome to What's Working in Washington on Federal News Network and streaming as a podcast.
Where are we going to find opportunities to grow jobs? Where are we going to find opportunity to solve big social problems? Well, it's got to be here, doesn't it? And we have with Bethesda Green, one of the nation's leading incubators in building sustainable and environmentally impactful businesses. It's been operating for close to 20 years, and it's frankly made a lot of progress, and there have been a lot of successes. And I care very much about this region and where the jobs of the future are going to come from. It may be that focusing on making the world a better place can actually make a lot of us financially better off. So I've had Dave Feldman, the executive director of Bethesda Green, in the studio with me today to talk about Bethesda Green and why it could be a great opportunity for you too. And here's our conversation. Dave, thanks for joining us today.
John, thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure.
Well, Bethesda Green is an effort that has been around for a while, and it's an important part of our region. Catch me up on what it's up to right now.
Yeah, Bethesda Green was founded in 2007, and right now we're celebrating 16 years in Bethesda, Maryland. We're on the second floor of the Capital One Bank branch in downtown, and we are many different things. We like to frame ourselves as an innovation center around sustainability. And what that means is we work with startup organizations that are having any form of green or sustainable types of solutions. We work as a community center, so we bring in folks from the community who have different projects that we're working with that we often catalyze. And then we're also doing a lot of work around certifying local green businesses. So, you know, you hear a lot of different things about environmental issues. We bring those elements local and help catalyze and drive them forward.
So help me understand, when you speak about sustainability, give me a little more context about how you're thinking about it in the context of an accelerator or a service program where you're helping entrepreneurs execute on business models.
There are quite a few different definitions of what is sustainability, and I'm not even sure everybody would agree to those.
Well, you and I can agree, and that'll be the beginning.
I think if we can start, that's
the
beginning.
Let's start there.
There's actually a report back in the late 80s, the Brundtland Report, that talks about meeting today's needs without sacrificing the needs of the future. And that's one that's kind of become somewhat of a de facto philosophical definition. How I look at sustainability is looking at it in a broad context is, you know, looking at every decision from a systemic standpoint. You know, in business, we frame it as people, planet, and profit. So if you're looking at just profit as a business, you're not really addressing the other elements. So sustainability is really kind of looking at all of the impacts a particular decision might make. Now, from an environmental standpoint, we look at everything from the water, the air, the consumption, what we buy. For myself, I'm a little bit of an environmentalist. It's like just how we take care of Mother Earth. You know, it's our home. You wouldn't want to trash your home and make it an unhealthy place to live. You know, sustainability is making sure you're taking care of those things and still looking at a strong economy, but also appreciating that we need to, you know, take care of everything in our space.
That's helpful for me because I think I'm not alone in sometimes conflating sustainability with environmentalism. And it sounds to me that they interrelate because as we think about environmental issues by nature, we're thinking about things like not poison the world. But so one of the criticisms that I often have shared with respect to Silicon Valley's current business models is more than a few of them are basically shifting externalities under others as a way to capture value and ultimately disproportionate profits. Those businesses may be sustainable from the standpoint of they can operate for an extended period, but they're not sustainable from the standpoint of being a net neutral on the consumption of resources or the exploitation of other resources. Is that a good way to think about it?
It's a wonderful way of thinking about it. You know, if you're looking at the sustainability of a business but not looking at all the other pieces that a business touches, then you're not really looking at sustainability. I like to actually frame it in four different ways. You know, what is a sustainable individual? And that's health and well-being. Sustainable businesses, and that goes into all the things that makes a business successful and profitable and all the stakeholders it serves, which is often more than just the investors and financial folks. What is a sustainable community, and what does that look like? And that gets into equity and social justice and other kinds of things. And what is a sustainable planet? And you hear a lot about climate change and other issues right there. So, you know, sustainability can be much broader. And, you know, I remember when I first started in this world, it was perceived as an environmental discussion. Right. And I think when you start looking at sustainability right now, we need to kind of move our lens back and open it up and say, you know what, it's complicated. And how do we start making those decisions? And I think that's one of the challenges that the industry faces sometimes, because there's so many components and so much that's involved. But if you don't have those discussions, you're never going to really make the right decisions going forward.
I wonder if some of it might be, just to take it back in history, I think about Paul Ehrlich, who's a family friend. And when I look at his career talking in the 60s about population explosion and how the world is not a sustainable place, and how his career has been marked by such a politicization of that message, it does feel to me that what you're describing, it must be very hard sometimes because it's so politicized. What you're talking about, I mean, from my standpoint, and of course this means I'm making a political statement, it seems so obvious to me that you'd want to leave the world at least as well off as it was when you started with it.
Isn't that like an old Boy Scouts, rule? Is that, you know, you leave your place as good or better when you leave it?
You would think.
You would think it's one of those just kind of basic tenets of good behavior. But it is interesting. And yes, sustainability does get political, or it can be. We, you know, at Bethesda Green, we try to stay away from politics because we often have different people have very different perspectives about different types of issues. I remember the early days, the Purple Line was one, and some people were for it and some were against it. And, you know, we found ourselves trying to have a civil discourse and really help people understand, okay, you know, what makes this a good project? It was actually public transportation. Mm. It was actually taking cars off the road. But in some folks' eyes, it was cutting down some trees and it took away some bike paths. So even sustainability, it's not a black and white issue. I mean, it leads for a very interesting discussion, but it gives you a frame of what is it that's important, and having people have a conversation about those kinds of things. And what may be sustainable in one area may not be sustainable in another area as well. I mean, that's, you know, if people try to simplify it, which they often do, it doesn't work.
It doesn't. I also think, having spent myself time as an arbitrage trader and as a financial economist, a lot of the tools that we use to measure economic output, frankly, don't provide any real measurement for externalities and for the things that fundamentally are most impacted by sustainability.
Yeah. No, you've brought that up, I think, a couple times now about the externalities, that if someone else is doing some harm, an environmental harm, for example, and somebody else is, you know, has to either clean it up, or the costs are bared by society, or, you know, maybe not even financial costs, but, you know, someone's health is impacted by it, then you're not really factoring in the true cost of whatever is being produced sometimes. So, you know, again, having those kinds of discussions is very important. And, you know, sometimes the challenge is, how do you measure those externalities? How do you provide an economic a component to that? So, you know, it may sound like it's confusing, but there's actually a lot of technologies, certifications, and approaches to try to get at this. So it's not like it's this big thing out in the sky that nobody can address. There are actually many different organizations that provide certifications or metrics or carbon tracking so that these things are manageable and trackable. So it's just, you know, it's some of it's actually very intertwined with technology.
I mean, absolutely.
Our technology world is actually booming in the world of sustainability.
Mm-hmm. I think it is. And, you know, at the end of the day, entrepreneurs like changing the world and solving problems. And people who are motivated to solve problems generally have an optimistic outlook.
Yeah.
And so it's not surprising that they would gravitate to this area. Now let's turn ourselves more granularly to why Bethesda? Why you established this organization, what, 20-something years ago? It's been
getting close. It's 16 now, but yeah, it's getting up there.
And it's been successful. It is successful. You know, you went off and did your own thing. There was some sadness that required a change, and you needed to come back, and you did. Why Bethesda? And why this region is a place for an effort like this? Because there aren't efforts like this everywhere in the States. I don't see them everywhere.
No, they're not. And it's, you know, Bethesda, I'm not sure if you can say it's random or not, but actually the founders of the organization, you know, Seth Goldman, who was actually the founder, I used to call it himself the CEO of Honest Tea.
That's right.
And a council member, George Leventhal, were the initial ideas behind this concept. And they happened to be based in Bethesda. And early on, I applied and became an executive director back in 2007. So it's been around some time. We were really blessed. Actually, long story, but we started the space. We got some space and the Chevy Chase Bank in 2008. And then the financial crisis came and a lot of changes. Capital One ended up continuing to honor a space that we have in downtown Bethesda, which we've now converted into an innovation center for incubating green companies and, you know, working with other small businesses to help them go on green journeys. We actually do a lot of work with local citizenry as well. So I don't want to say Bethesda is that unique in some way. I think there are a lot of other communities that are striving for that. It's just that all the things kind of fell together and ended up in Bethesda. And we had up with a wonderful landlord and a great community. And, you know, I do want to tout Montgomery County and the Washington, D.C. area as having a very caring community that I think these are issues that are resonant with a lot of folks in this area. I think, you know, I like to look at us as being both environmental. We care about people in this area. We have a lot of diversity, and we have a strong business climate. So it kind of brings all of those components together under one roof. So, you know, touting Bethesda, but all of this region, we just happen to have our home in Bethesda, Maryland.
My experience with successful accelerator, incubator, or placemaking programs is what they all have in common are a couple of attributes. One, some highly motivated, experienced business people that want to make it happen. Two, local sponsors, supporters that care enough to want to make it happen. And three, entrepreneurs that share the mission. And I think what you just described for me is textbook for how you create a successful innovation hub.
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting because as much as sustainability is a core value of what we're creating, I find that there's a lot of different groups of people who work with us. Some are volunteers. Some are, as you mentioned, entrepreneurs. Other are community activists. Others are, you know, we work with the chamber. Others are people who have business interests and things like that. It's creating a space that has a culture of cooperation, of understanding, of listening, of respect. At its core is really, you know, bringing out the best in people, because when people are their best, they're going to care about sometimes things beyond themselves. It's looking at elevating humanity. And I think a lot of what we've done is exactly what you said, but it's also about, you know, making sure that the people work together towards a common goal and objective.
100%. I'm here with Dave Feldman. He's the executive director of Bethesda Green. Dave, when we come back, I'm sure we've got people listening that are saying, what can I do? How can I get involved? And we're going to talk about that right after this. Has a mission, you know that. It's to make us all better informed and to promote DC as a place where we can build great careers and also the challenges we have to overcome. If you want to help, you can do the following things. First, send us your guest suggestions. If you think somebody's interesting, I'll think they're interesting too. Reach out to me through LinkedIn. I'll answer your email. The second thing is, if you like the show, subscribe. There's no better way for us to be able to keep doing this than have our audience grow. Or better yet, tell a friend. Invite a friend to subscribe, or just give us a like. It seems like such a simple thing, but you know, it actually makes a difference. So thanks for listening. And we're back with Dave Feldman, executive director of Bethesda Green. Before the break, Dave, I promised our audience that we would start to talk about how people could get involved. So let's begin with this. As an accelerator incubator program, that's about helping people grow new enterprises, right? So talk to me about, if I'm interested, how do I interact with you if I'm interested in having you help me launch a new enterprise?
Yeah, no, that's a wonderful question. And, just for the audience, there's a couple of different things. You know, you mentioned the incubator and accelerator. They're actually two different things. I've learned a term that's actually only been around for a few years called ESO. Mm-hmm. We're what's called an entrepreneurial support organization.
Oh, I like it.
And what that means is it's just what it says, is that we help entrepreneurs grow by providing them mentorship, by providing sometimes space, by providing access to capital, providing peer-to-peer networks, opportunities to work through some of their challenging issues at the time. And a difference between an accelerator and an incubator, at least from our perspective, an accelerator is often these programs that maybe are about 4 to 6 months long, and a company comes in and you give them a very intensive program, and they are working on a curriculum, they get assigned some mentors. At the end of that program, they graduate, and they may stay connected and they may not. During the pandemic, we were a virtual organization, and a lot of the companies that we worked with didn't stay connected to us. And as you mentioned earlier, I've returned to Bethesda Green. We lost our executive director about a year ago. Mm. Passed away suddenly, which was quite tragic. Mm-hmm. We decided to go back to an incubator model. And an incubator model allows us to work with companies for a much longer period of time. We engage with them, and we can work with them to, you know, build their business, but also we work across actually the whole DMV. So we can help build markets with them. We can help connect them to other organizations that are in this space. So an incubator model from our standpoint allows us to be more intentional about the services that we provide and hopefully, which is what we're doing, bring a number of companies that are together in the same space or at the same development cycle together to start working toward those goals.
Do you take equity in these businesses?
We have in the past during our accelerator model. Mm-hmm. We most likely will not be using that approach going forward.
I'm actually not surprised to hear you say that because my experience with accelerators, whether it's a Techstars or 1776, which operated here for a while, or Y Combinator in Silicon Valley, a lot of them are what I would bluntly call disguised venture capital.
Yeah.
8% of the company to get you sorted out. They use volunteer mentors. It's a great business model if you wanted to seed stage investing without raising a large fund. It can be hugely successful, but it's not about the entrepreneur. It's about, yeah, Let's start a company that could be script for venture capital, which is why so many of them have graduation days and deal days and all the rest of it. And then the entrepreneurs go with God. I hope it works out for you. Whereas incubators, in my experience, are much more entrepreneur focused, much more interested in economic development, much more interested in outcomes, because you're trying to create activity that's, forgive the pun, sustainable.
Yeah. Yeah, there's, you know, we made a decision. First of all, many companies don't necessarily bring in enough revenue or equity to ever make it worthwhile. Mm. But I think one of the main reasons that you find that you're often in a conflict of interest if you're trying to get equity from a company as well. It can be very complicated. And we decide, you know what, we have other funding sources right now. We are a nonprofit. We've got a relationship with Montgomery County. So we have different places that we get our funding from. It just kept it cleaner, not actually bringing in revenue and trying to take a piece of the company. It's also very hard to manage those kinds of relationships as a small organization like ourselves.
Absolutely, unless that's your focus. I love purity of business models personally and everybody knowing what they're getting. So I'm an entrepreneur or a couple of entrepreneurs or a team, and I want to do something that is within the rubric of a public benefit, social venture, some aspect of sustainability. How do I interact with you? How do I get involved? And what is the on-ramp look like?
The first start of the on-ramp is to come and, you apply. And there is an application process. And it's for us to make sure that there's a fit in our organization and for you to get to know us and make sure it's a fit for what you're looking for as well. We are literally relaunching the organization. And our goal is to have up to 20 companies starting as a cohort of sorts where we bring them in and we have mentor working hours. We have regular monthly meetings where the companies together share their successes, their challenges, and we're working through those challenges as a group of organizations. So, there's a number of different ways, but the first way is just going to the Bethesda Green website, looking to see if it's a fit. If it is, if you're interested in growing a business of any sort, we work with both earlier and later stage companies, as long as you have a sustainability mission, and we're looking for companies that have that collaborative approach. Come in, get to know us. We'll get to know you and see if there's an opportunity to meet.
I like it. I like the transparency of it, Dave. I like that a lot. Where do your mentors come from?
Yeah, we're a small team as our staff, But we've got a pretty extensive network, and we've got over now about 50-some mentors that we've built up over time with a broad array of skills. You know, on the business side, marketing, strategic planning, finance, customer acquisition. We've even got a couple of folks who've got experience in government contracts. So our goal was to create a diverse set of skills that mentors bring to the table. And they provide this service in kind. I mean, they're doing it on their own because they believe in the businesses. They want to be part of a community. They're just, you know, both very generous and very knowledgeable. Some of them are, you know, experienced retired ex-entrepreneurs themselves or investors themselves. So, you know, we work with them. You know, our goal is to make it a meaningful experience for them as well. I mean, if you're spending your time working with an entrepreneur, you either want to really believe in the solution that that company is creating, or you want to be part of a community that really fulfills you in a different ways.
Absolutely. I've been lucky enough in my life to participate in many businesses that have grown and exited. And the one thing I can say for sure is that the biggest challenge a successful entrepreneur in particular has is maintaining salience after you've sold a business.
Yeah.
Everybody assumes that, oh, well, they're done. And the reality is, if you like being engaged and you like changing the world, you're never done. You just find the next thing to do. So I'm not surprised to hear you're finding mentors. And I bet there are people listening and think, well, that sounds interesting. So what's the on-ramp for somebody if they want to be a mentor with
you? Just reach out to us, yeah, and talk with us as well. I mean, again, we're very open to meeting with folks. And you know, we meet with our mentors quarterly. And we actually have a number of events throughout the you know, throughout the year that the mentors are part of. So, you know, we don't try to make it too formal. You know, we are small enough that we're flexible. But if someone's interested, you know, dave@bethesdagreen.org, reach out to me. I've got an incubator manager, but I'm a very good point of contact to start. You know, many different entry points. And one thing I wanted to mention, which is a little bit off, but it's still part of the system, is we work with local green businesses to help certify them. So in Montgomery County, they had a green business certification program. We are now contracting and we are running that program. What's exciting is that we help from small restaurants to large Fortune 50 or 500 companies go through a process where they're looking at their best practices and policies, and we help them evolve and develop them by providing them guidance and support.
Ah.
Ironically, a lot of the companies that are coming through the incubator will have solutions that we can now introduce to the businesses. So in many respects, we're building this community where we're helping develop solutions and at the same time develop a market for some of these kinds of companies. So it's really an opportunity to really, you know, elevate sustainability, not only in Montgomery County, but the whole DC area by, you know, putting these pilot programs or whatever it takes to get to that next level. I think we're a bit of a catalyst in that situation.
Again, best practices for successful incubator programs is corporate engagement from larger customers who want to work with the startups. This sounds really tremendous. I'm going to ask you an unfair question, sort of the question every parent dreads. Give me a couple of examples of companies or enterprises that you've worked with that you are particularly fond of and why.
I'm going to give an example of an organization which is kind of different than what I would have thought I would. So I'm going to plug an organization that was local here, Donahoe Construction, which actually was a general contractor for our first redevelopment of the Bethesda Green offices. And when they first came in, they had never done a green building before. And there was a number of reasons they came to us. We found them. And they came in, and I remember some of the workers here back in 2007 were looking at our building and saying, why is this green? And they challenged almost everything that we did. And I just smiled and said, you know what? Those are really good questions. The idea that you're asking about our cork floor, that it may not last as long, which, by the way, it did, as a carpet, is a good question because you're starting to say, well, if I have to replace something more frequently, and even though it came from a more sustainable source, is that sustainable? So in those kinds of discussions, we both learned a lot about the process, and I think they became a better organization for it. And ironically, I just met with one of their individuals the other day, and they have now done a number of gold LEED buildings around this area. So I like to say maybe we were responsible for helping kind of move them along in this continuum.
So I just want to tell you, that was a great answer for two reasons. One, it was impactful and it was a tremendous answer. Two, you did something that every parent should learn how to do, which is don't ask me about my kids. I'm going to tell you about my cousin. So congratulations, Dave. You clearly are a pro. Look, I've got about a minute and a half with you here. I'm very concerned about economic growth in this region. Please make the case for why and how what you're doing can make a positive difference in our region's future.
If you look at from an economic standpoint, you know, what kind of a company would you want to grow? You'd want to grow a company that meets the needs of a particular situation. You know, if you look at whether it's climate, or you look at environmental issues, there are a lot of challenges that we face environmentally right now. And I do think that there's a lot of companies that will thrive in this space. It doesn't matter whether it's energy, whether it's food, whether it's waste reduction, whether it's protecting our waters. I mean, we're right on the Chesapeake Bay watershed. A lot of challenges with waters. There are opportunities galore for those kinds of companies. There are obstacles and challenges as well. Many of those are policy driven. So, you know, I would never say it's an easy place to be, but I do think there's markets for it. I think there's an appetite for it. And, you know, that's the kind of community we're trying to build. We want to build a cluster, a whole sector around sustainability. We think that is an opportunity. You know, you hear a lot about, you know, Maryland strong in biotech, Virginia strong in cybersecurity, as Maryland is as well. Now, where are the next sectors for development and creativity coming from? And I want to make a case that sustainability could be one of those.
A number of years ago, economists were looking at what was going to be the next industrial wave to drive the economy. And it was, in fact, sustainability and clean energy.
Yeah.
Dave, it's been really inspirational to have you here with us today. I think that what you and your team are doing, Bethesda Green, is, you know, frankly, it's one of the more positive feel-good stories our region has had. And I'm glad you've returned to it, although the circumstances obviously were sad. But I'm glad you're back doing it. I think that what, you know, your founders and partners have done for this region is laudable. And I hope that people sign up and take advantage of this great resource.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I think, you know, my passion comes through because I believe in this. We actually find a number of other people who really want to see change in a positive way. And, you know, that's what inspires me. I do think there's a generation that does see different ways of doing things going forward. And we are not competing with business. We are very much aligned with business.
100%.
So I'm excited. So thank you for this opportunity.
Well, we're happy to have you. So, folks, I assume a number of you are inspired now. Do make sure you reach out to Dave Feldman, who is the executive director of Bethesda Green. And if you can't find him, find me and I'll put you in touch. Dave, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, John.
This program is brought to you in partnership with George Mason University's Center for Regional Analysis. The CRA is the region's leading voice in economic data and forecasting. Check out their work at cra.gmu.edu. What's Working in Washington is a team effort. We have a great team. Tracy Madigan is our executive producer and editor. Laura Latendresse is our digital producer. The theme music you've been listening to is performed by the Sunbathers. And thanks to all of you for joining us on What's Working in Washington.
You've been listening to What's Working in Washington on Federal News Network and streaming as a podcast.